Today on the Mike O'Mara Show.
The most popular baby names in the U.S. and the top two again this year, Olivia and Liam. Olivia has been the top girl's name 5 years running. Liam has topped the boys' list 7 straight years. Liam from the Social Security Administration.
Nowhere do I see the name Mehmet.
Mehmet, I love it. Your favorite. We're going to be posting everything we need to post on there, and we have to keep it in our pants when we're thinking about putting it in other places.
Go. Before the announcements go wide, I want to reiterate one fact. We will be keeping them in our pants!
Yes, we will. Yes, we will. Because remember, I am a dirty, dirty little whore. What? Don't what? Don't what?
I was going to say, don't call yourself a whore, but you're
too late.
You're embracing it. I like to refer to you as a high-class escort.
Okay, I accept that. I will give you a good time. I will wear the best makeup. I will give you a wonderful evening.
All that and more. The Mike O'Mara Show starts now. Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment. You can listen to The Mike O'Mara Show at MikeO'MaraShow.com.
Well, what have we here?
It's a podcast.
Fine.
And what excitement we have today.
It's The Mike O'Mara Show with Mike O'Mara and Rob Spiewak. Now, here's Mike.
It was the best of times. It was the worst of times. The best of times being we are fresh off an absolutely delightful cocktail party on Saturday night where we were so thrilled at the level of participation and how many people involved themselves with the show. It was really, really, really good stuff. And the worst of times being this morning when I got on the scale and I realized that drinking shots of Fireball, not conducive to significant weight loss. And really Not my highest gain in the last 3 months, but my second highest gain in the last 3 months. And now I'll right that ship. That'll happen. But at the same time, oh boy, I mean it was a pain in the ass.
May I address a question that I saw bandying about social media over the weekend?
Yes.
When you said worst of times, I assumed you would be talking about Sunday morning. Because you
really, comparatively.
And it was early. That was an advantage. It was early.
7 p.m. start. We got done by what, 8:40? Something
about,
like that?
That's about right.
Yep. Bring in Josh Oz here for a second here. Hi, Oz. Yep. We're gonna have a lot of this is gonna be an Oz-centric show at the beginning, at least today. For a variety of reasons that are just in my mind. I was we'll get to that in just a second, but really, really terrific to do that again and
fun
to have that kind of interaction. And as far as I am concerned, even if it had been another type of alcohol outside of Fireball, I just did Fireball because I didn't want to sit there and be doing straight vodka, you know, for the, it was,
you got to save something for the second one.
And he also needed to do something to separate it from a normal Saturday night.
The second one, which I have personally now scheduled for 2025.
That'll be fun. Don't miss it, folks.
That's what it should be. We have. So thanks to everybody that participated. It was great seeing the comments. It was great everybody jumping in and doing that. And we got a little bit of a late start this morning, primarily because of me, that I have been... I don't want to use the word obsessing, but I guess it would be obsessing. Things pop up on your feed on social media when you're looking at them a lot. And sure. I'm looking at a variety of different websites all the time, including websites about this show. Now, before I get started talking to this, Josh was involved in it as well. I want to share that for all of you that follow us on social media, specifically Facebook, it's really, really important for the good of this show that if you are on TMOS fan page, if you are on my site, if you are on my Rob's feed, wherever you are, please follow us on the Mike O'Mara Show page, which is on Facebook.
Most important, help our cause
enormously. And, you know, we're building and building and building, and we're trying a lot of new things. And so that's helpful. If that's only been there for about three weeks. Only so 3 weeks, and we're really happy.
You might have thought you joined it years ago. It didn't exist.
It didn't exist, but 2,000-plus people on there now. We want to get that up to 10,000 if we could. 10,000 or more if we could get people on there. That would be really, really helpful. So we do that. Now, the show. As many of you know, we've had a lot of upheaval in this show of late, and that can be both a blessing and a curse at the same time. It's a curse because it's tough to go through for the principals, myself especially, but it's a blessing because with new blood, a la Mr. Soroka, and with you know, with Rob doing different things, it's it can be something where we get revitalized. One of the things that that both Josh and I have been doing is checking in on all the platforms that talk about this show. And contrary to what you might think, I am successfully able to edit out the real nasty parts of some of this stuff and filter out the stuff that's worthwhile. With that said, I don't know if responding to every single nitpick is a good idea, but there are themes that that people have. There are things that people love about the show. There are things that people, the fact that people have stayed with us as long as they have stayed with us,
yes,
and supported us the way they've supported us, and that was just confirmed by Saturday night's get together, is gratifying. But I also would be foolish if I thought that sitting on our hands and standing pat is the way to go. I don't know if it is. I don't think it is. I think it is really, really, if you did, we could do a show, and I'm not kidding you, we could do a couple of shows based solely on people bitching about this show.
Oh, we could do a week of shows. Easy.
There are websites. There are podcasts. There was a podcast that did a podcast about this show and what they hated about this show. It was hysterical. I watched it. I also said, that's got to be a very, and they do it about a bunch of different shows.
Okay.
That's got to be tough to do, I would imagine. Just like I've always thought doing the radio format of politics would be tough.
Yeah, but if you do a podcast.
Or the radio format of all sports would be tough.
If you do a podcast that is really just critiquing other podcasts, that might not be as hard as like doing an actual show.
Yeah, well, I get that. I mean, we do that. I mean, we talk about things that we want to bitch about when it's in pop culture.
Yeah, but that's so not our exclusive corner on the market of making fun of other.
No, it's not, a large part. I certainly bitch about everything under the sun on this show. That's what I do. I think that the bigger you are and the more successful you are, the more it lends itself to that, and you can go two ways. If you're making a movie that's involved with producers and directors and actors, and you have a script and you go into production, you do all your work and then you see how it goes,
right,
and you see what the reaction is. When you do what we do, we're on every day. We come in here every day, and I've read similar critiques for a very, very long time. I am more than aware of the fact that my bitchiness can be polarizing. But I also know that I'll give a great example. What did I write to somebody? I posted about weight loss.
Okay.
And I was really, really happy. It's funny because when I came in today, it was all different. I gained more than I had. I posted about weight loss and I came in and on the thread was, what the hell? Oh, so in the background, there was a drawer open and the bed wasn't made. And a guy wrote, take care of yourself. Be like Anna Kendrick and make your bed and keep and pick up after yourself. And I wrote, blow me. And that's I mean,
nice.
And people love that.
Yeah.
People
as soon as
that.
I saw that photo, I knew you were going to get hate.
because people, and Rob, you do this too. you don't look at the picture as much as sometimes you look in back of the picture.
Mike, if we go back to the days of Cake and Cookies, the podcast I once did with Katie Von Herman, we had something, we called our listener the Crumbs, and the Crumb Prime Directive was to find someone's Facebook picture and comment on something they didn't want you to see. Because okay. that's something that we love to do. And it's, you can find something that is absolutely detrimental to the message that the person is trying to convey, that's a win because they've totally blown it. So, yeah, that's something I like to do. I like to examine pictures sometimes. You think it's because I'm a crazy fan?
There's a different kind of consumption, and it's almost an ADD thing, which you have.
I do.
And so I think that people will look at a post of a photograph, and then you'll immediately... the eyes start darting around. I don't do that. I look at the picture and then I see that. Now, if there's something egregious, and maybe my picture of the Carla's drawer open on the drawer.
Mike, as we used to say, she's very busy. Very busy. Yeah, she's extraordinarily busy.
No, that's why Saturday before the live stream, I went and made sure to inspect everything in my background. Making sure there was nothing that's going to upset people or call attention to myself.
This is why I never take a picture of our laundry room, which invariably has the dryer door open full of clean, unfolded clothes. And, you know, our dryer lights up when you open it. So even if I shut the door to the laundry room, it beckons to me that the laundry
has not been...
And
that drives you insane.
Mike, I can't let it drive me insane because it's been 27 years. I have to let it go. I do my own laundry. And I sometimes want to get to Carrie and just say, do you know what's possible in this modern age? Anything is possible. You can wash, dry, and put away clothes in 3 hours. And it's not even a total investment of 3 hours. It's just a few minutes of hunks of time within the 3 hours. It can be done. But I don't do that because I want to preserve my marriage.
I get that. And Rob, later on in the show, maybe we'll talk about Carrie ruining your entire weekend. I would say that.
But I kept a stiff upper lip, Mike. Because, you know what, I wanted her to have a great Mother's Day.
But you don't like conflict. You don't like conflict.
I don't like conflict, but I like to be acknowledged for my efforts.
And I guess that was lagging. We'll get to that.
All right.
So, because I was late, I was looking at all these different socials. Josh got involved with some of it and was kind of seeking it out. And then I was obsessed reading about it because it interests me. Because it's about me. Mm-hmm. And the show. And I thought that, I caught Josh by surprise a little bit when I said, you got to come in because I want to talk about this. And Josh was I was going to do that later in the week.
I was going to organize it and get rid of the haters.
It's
mostly real. It's a really good thread.
It's a good thread that you had in particular because people were, they kept their emotions in check about it. But I get the emotion, too. I understand how that
You know what?
That
I like the emotion. That means they're invested.
I don't like the emotion.
You don't like emotion?
You don't like the emotion. If somebody calls you a name, you don't like that. Nobody likes that, do they?
Well, it depends. There's a certain piece of me, and I think we share this. There used to be an amazingly negative thread that was on another website, and to be fair, this is when I was drinking. If I was feeling particularly dark, I would go and read all the hate and just sort of absorb it. I don't know. It could not have been healthy behavior. But, I mean, I was seeking out that negative stuff. So
I think
there's a part of me that digs it, I guess. I don't know. Broken.
Yeah. Well, it's in fairness to me. Most of that real nasty shite is kind of thrown at your boy here.
Your name on the podcast.
Yeah, on the masthead, as they say.
I understand how that works. I think I can't speak for people that have attained great levels of celebrity because I don't consider what we do to be in that realm. I really don't. But I've always thought that the people out in Hollywood that say I don't pay attention to any of that stuff, they're lying. Everybody wants to know what people are thinking and saying. That's why we get into this racket to start with.
And
so,
the thread of the personality that drives you to be that famous is built on wanting to hear things about you.
So we're getting and not mentioning names and not mentioning pages and not doing that because when it comes to Rob's page, my page, anybody on the Book of Faces in particular, we are in the process right now of trying to migrate people over to the Mike O'Mara Show. There are that's what we want. We're going to be posting our exclusives on there. We're going to be posting our information on there. We're going to be posting everything we need to post on there. And we have to keep it in our pants when we're thinking about putting it at, in other places. Not to mention that all the other sites rock and roll. Go have fun and do that. Just know that the real organized, credible stuff about this show will be confined to that, you know, initially that place. You want to share it anywhere, I don't care about that. That's the way we want that to go.
Before the announcements go wide, I want to reiterate one fact. We will be keeping them in our pants.
Yes, we will. Yes, we will. In our pants. So let's dive in, shall we? Because I think this is kind of fun. Because Josh and I were spending some time looking at the same stuff. Maybe Josh more than I did. This was like a short time ago. I'm trying to filter out, and none of this, by the way, is saying that I'm going to make wholesale changes. I just like talking about what people are bitching about.
Okay.
I love it. I enjoy it. I think it's interesting. I think it is, some of it can be really, really hurtful, but at the same time, You take the emotion out of it, and then you move forward and you think about it. For the longest period of time, the bitching, breathing persona, there are some people that really dig it, and there are some people that are really put off by it. But when you complain about me, screaming and yelling about particularly mundane things, I think it is the essence of who I am, really.
Mike, I just thought of a great segment, and we could do it today. It would be Mike O'Mara's Mundane Monday.
Mundane bitching. Now, the criticism, it's so funny because I am filled with all the negatives right now.
Yeah,
what
sure.
you just did was very DJ hack, and that's another criticism, that we are so DJ hack. And
well, Mike, I didn't. I know, but that is a DJ hack idea, but I didn't mean it to actually be done. It was sort of a satire.
No,
of
but
DJ
even
hack.
Saying it though is that,
it?
You know, yeah, yeah. To a level. Well, let me turn it over to Josh.
Okay.
Yeah, and what's interesting about this is it's easy to think of it as hate and criticism, but it is long time listeners.
There are people forever. That give us some of the nastiest feedback in the world that listen to every single show, and we are grateful for that. There are people that really do have a big old boneroo for this show, but they still listen to every show. And then there are the people who... I can't do a psychoanalysis of everybody, but you know there are also the people that just have some sort of, feel some sort of slight, feel some sort of wronged, and want to get in there because they have, and man, the thing that amazes me about that is that I know, even going back to other websites back in the day, they can linger.
Right.
They can linger. And I get that because I linger in the back of my mind over people that I feel have, you know, done me wrong to a degree.
Right.
That's the human condition. But by and large, when Josh dove into this stuff, and I'm watching from a back room, I'm watching through the two-way glass, the one-way glass, the one-way mirror. It was interesting to me because it was, would I be accurate, Josh, when I said there were some common threads?
Yeah, and I wrote down a few common threads.
All right, go ahead, lay them on me. This is
that
cool.
We can go through.
All right.
Okay. Did we just get a notification of some sort?
I guess I did. I had to mute something.
Oh, okay. 10th caller.
Right.
That's DJ Hack, Mike, right there. We're not taking the 10th caller.
Yes, it is.
But DJ Hack is part of what made this show.
Yeah.
And it's the problem is it's been 15 years. Mm-hmm. Things change over the time. So we adjust, listeners adjust, and a lot of this criticism came from people where TMOS was their number one podcast.
Right.
For many, it was their introduction to what a podcast is.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And now, 15 years later, it's not their number one podcast, and I think they would like it to be the number one podcast again.
Now, to me, that fascinates me.
Yeah.
Because that is a connection to a show where if somebody is saying something like that, who am I to blow that off or ignore that when I hear that? Because what you're telling me is what we do is significant enough where you want us to do better so you can move us up on your hit parade. How can I ignore that? How can I effing ignore that? I know a lot of people say, I don't care. I want one of the new things about this show moving forward is I want to talk about this. I'm fascinated by this. And we pull back the curtain a lot, but not as much as other people do with the listeners, I think. And I'd like to be number one with that. I would really like to discuss things that people, you know, and make it more of a partnership. That has been done over the years when you talk about like a mailbag or you talk about a Yak Shack. But unfortunately, when it's on the fly, it doesn't always work real well from a consumer standpoint. People panic. People don't want to, you know, it just doesn't work that way. This way, I like Josh kind of interpreting it because it's a way that I don't have a problem with that. I get that people feel that way. So that right out of the gate, that's a positive to me.
And I think it's also a positive that they think that, you know, if we were at one time their number one podcast, we still have all the ingredients to do that again. You know, we've got everything that we've ever had. So we need to just shuffle it up a little bit and we can be right there.
Right, I disagree.
Well, there are a couple things that are different. But, I mean, I think we discussed off air.
Right.
The core ingredients are still
just
here.
Just stop. Just and what people hate when I tell Rob to just stop. When he's just opening his mouth and things are coming out, sometimes that. And I'll address that because I give Rob a lot of crap and Rob doesn't. One of the number one bitches about this show is that I pick on you too much and you don't give me enough crap back. I get that. I understand that. And that is a dynamic that I would hate it if I was watching it. Or listening to it. I would understand that. Here's the problem. That the when you're with somebody for as long a period of time as Rob and I have been together, we kind of do it by nature. And I think it does fall into the category of my responsibility to do a better job with that. And with Rob, Rob can only speak for himself as far as what I get when I read some of the criticisms of me is that crotchety, curmudgeon-y, that type of stuff. Some people dig that, but I can't come in here and be doing that every single day. I can't. I can't do it. I don't think it would be real. I will tell you, though, the nature of who I am and the personality that I have. I will get in the car, go to pick my kid up at school, and I will come to the first intersection in my neighborhood,
mm-hmm.
and there will be a car that beats me to the four-way intersection.
Right.
And I go, it's who I bitch about stuff that there is no reason to. I don't know how to change that. I've changed that. I've been to therapy. I'm on medication. I try to change it all the time. Some stuff is just who I am, and I can't always change that. I get that I can try to control it more, and I think that is valid. And when it's completely out of left field and I just throw it out there, I think I can monitor that.
I would say that our on-air personas, Mike and myself, are sort of a pencil sketch of how we are in real life. It's not exactly accurate, but it's very close. And I've had a different radio journey than Mike. And I started as an intern, and I assistant producer to producer to assistant producer to producer, and a lot of it was contingent on being yelled at and being
that's interesting you say that. That I mean, because it's interesting that you say contingent on being yelled at.
I think that was a lot of it. And this is not this show. I'm not talking so much about this show. I'm talking about a previous show where it was.
Yeah, but this show too.
A little bit. But you fall into a spot. You find a role. And sometimes you reach out and try to make the role. For example, 20 years ago, folks, I don't want to disappoint you. I never was a Nazi wife beater. I'm sorry. I never did that. But it was part of my characterization on the show just as an angle to be a part of the program. But I continued to be a part of it. And, you know, if something gets screwed up or something goes wrong, it's fun to have someone to yell at. I think that that's part of the reason why I eventually was the hardest on the interns, because I was returning some of it back to someone below me. However, that's a lot of words said to get back to where we are. In the two-person format of this show, there has to be an alpha. It's obviously going to be Mike. And then that leaves me in a different situation. Now, will it evolve from a three-person show to a two-person show? Probably. But Mike and I have evolved into what we are. And since we've had a different sort of radio path, I think this is where it's at. I mean, it doesn't bother me. I'm used to it. I've done it. It's all I've done my whole life. So it's fine. But I can understand someone being uncomfortable.
And right now, I am saying to myself, don't say what immediately pops into my head when I'm listening to you, because what I really wanted to say is that is the most amazing salad bar of words that I have ever heard in my life with that word salad.
You don't think I made a point there?
I get it. But it's also the way I process it.
Yeah.
Is that we can't change, and
not entirely, no.
I don't know whether that's what people would want to hear from me or from you. I don't know. So that's kind of the way I process it.
But I'll say I was a longtime listener, and I did tune out.
Did you say was, Josh?
Well, that's what I'm getting to. I did tune out the past couple years.
Mm-hmm.
But that is that's part of the change that excites me, is that one of the big reasons I tuned out isn't here anymore, and we can move on with that. And that's part of everyone's critique, is that it went from a 4-man show to a 3-man show to a 2-man show, which means everyone's roles and dynamics are going to change. Rob's role is different on a 2-man show than a 3-man show. Mm-hmm. And it's adjusting, and I think it's given the show time to adjust to that 2-man setup.
I think that what makes it better, and I'll give you a positive, with some of the comedy old shtick. We always do shtick. We've done shtick forever. Yeah. I'm a shtick guy. Rob's a shtick guy. But the two guys that, you know, have always been at the heart of trying to be funny are still with this show, where it, you know, the third chair and the fourth chair, I think, added a dimension of conflict and different perspective, which I value as well. So the show is a constant evolution. And, you know, that's what I really do like about it. Oh, my God. I'm getting something here. Hold on.
No, it's praise.
Carla said something nice. That's sweet, honey. Thank you. I appreciate that. I want to give Rob a compliment here. When it comes to me creating an idea for something that's just fun and funny and silly, there's nobody that I'd rather have in the foxhole than Rob, because Rob loves it as much as I love it when we come up with some new idea that we want to try and be funny.
You did that recently with the Kentucky Derby intro.
Yeah, and nobody helps me with that, because I play to Rob, and Rob plays to me, and that I'm never changing that. because that makes me want to come into work in the morning.
Yeah, yeah.
That's great. With everything else that's there, as far as the real side of things, I get it. But for me to come in here and say it is what it is, I hate that in life. I hate people saying, this is the way I think. It's my show. If you don't like it, pound sand. I don't like doing that. I want to grow. I want to be better. Yeah. I want to do that. I love talking about this. It's one of my favorite subjects, my show. I love having that. And Rob's show and now Josh's show.
Yeah.
And when Josh says that, reaches out and say, I want to give feedback, I do get the dynamic between Rob and I has, outside of the comedy stuff, been that way, and I'm not comfortable with it all the time. I don't want Rob can't change who he is as much as I can't change exactly who I am at the core. But we can modify that a little bit.
Of course.
And on my end, it, I think, requires me taking a breath and chilling out. And on Rob's end, it involves, and I'll say this to his face, I would say it off air, Rob, relaxing more and feeling safe. When he describes what you, when you describe, you're here, I'm going to talk to you.
Yeah.
When you describe what you've gone through with the way back when with the old show, mm-hmm. and then coming into this show, and I think I piggybacked on that a little bit because sure. I was conditioned to treating you a certain way,
mm-hmm.
that creates an environment where you don't necessarily feel that you are in a safe zone. You want to stay out of fire. You want to stay out of the fray.
And at one point, and you'll agree, at one point it had gotten so dicey just to be in the office. Who is going to have the guns trained on them today?
There was a time on this show where that it was like that with me too. Mm-hmm. When I was not in a real happy zone, there were two. Towards the end, right before Oscar left us,
mm-hmm.
it was tense on a daily basis.
It was.
And then there was a time when I took the morning show in Washington.
Yes.
And did two shows and then came back and did the podcast, and I was miserable. And that was another thing because I went from one format change into a station that they'd already made the decision to change the format.
Yeah, you jumped on a sinking ship.
The guys that ran the station didn't know it. Talk about a tough time. That was difficult. So the point I'm trying to make here is that the essence of who you are as a human being contributes to the people that listen to this show, but it also everything has to be created in such. I'm doing word salad too.
No, you're fine. You're absolutely fine. We need an environment that allows for it to happen.
I have to check some of that irrational angst at the door. I do.
I think I do too.
I should do it. I should do it more. Well, your angst manifests itself in a
manic.
Don't rock the boat. right? Right.
Yeah.
Don't rock the boat. Don't say something that's that's gonna arouse the ire of one of the principals on the show, that type of thing.
And I think we're at a point where it'd be pretty hard for me to do any irreparable damage by raising any ire. We know each other too well.
But there is don't you still try to stay out of the fray a little bit?
Yeah, but you know what? There's not much fray anymore. There's that. I mean, that makes it easier. And trying to relax is a great show note for me. And it is. I don't have any reason to get tense.
I'm glad to hear you say that, but I don't know. I think on my end, the relationship with Rob is we've been through a lot,
mm-hmm.
In different incarnations of the show. And Rob would be the first one to tell you that I have demanded more of him in the past. And it has been, a source of frustration for him, I'm sure, when there are certain things that how many years did I give you crap about guests
and booking
guests on the show? And that just drove me nuts. And mm-hmm. that was something that ultimately it's just something like being able to hit a golf ball. you either can do it or you can't. And, you know, it's why people get paid. Well, certain people said it was in order to get guests, I have to pay a lot of money. And I was told that for a few things.
Yeah.
We're really getting into the inner cookie.
But it is ultimately when you're in there and you're doing everything and you think you're using every arrow in your quiver, and it's frustrating when you can't make it happen. And that makes you embittered.
And
makes one embittered, I should say.
In fairness to you, I always believe that with my name on it, that if I'm hitting the phones and trying it myself, that takes out. It's just like negotiating a contract without an agent.
Mm-hmm.
That I'm going to diminish the ability to get done what I want to do by doing it myself. So I've never done it. So I can't speak to what goes along with it. Now, getting back to Josh here. So Josh, one of the number one things on the hit parade was that dynamic on the show, right?
Yes, it was. And
me bitching at Rob not fighting back. That would be the overall heading, wouldn't it?
That was one of the big points.
One of the biggies.
And that was the one big thing where people loved Oscar because he would fight back. And he would cause that.
And
that
I like
drama.
That too. I believe it or not, I enjoyed that too.
And that's great on the mic. It's not good off the mic.
Yeah.
And I think that's a balance that we need to figure out moving forward without that. And that's where maybe guests come into play or more as the show dynamic changes. I think the next step is a lot of on my notes is a lot of talk about the clock and time because you guys are radio guys and we're now podcasting. You guys, this is 15 years of the podcast coming up.
I get that.
There's ways we can still keep KCJJ and play with the clock a little bit more.
I like that because some of the most pleasant and relaxed shows that we have are the bonus shows where we are uncensored and we are freeform with commercials. Now, I want to touch on that too, because what I noticed is a lot of people saying, begging, monetizing, you know, talking about money, talking about
different
things.
That's next on my
list. It's just, well, go ahead, set the table with
that. No, I mean, that's what I was going to say. It's people complaining about ads.
Yeah,
especially in-house ads and requesting tips and donations and super chats, which everyone can do on any show now.
Yeah,
and unfortunately, that's where I step in as the business manager and say we've got to push all that stuff because we need to make this a business. It costs money. We want the more time in our day we can devote to this show, the better the show turns out.
100%.
Which means bringing in ads, bringing in money, so that we don't need to go elsewhere for that.
Right.
Does you know? I would ask the people that complain about that. That I understand it. I hate it when I'm watching a compelling program that puts commercials on. I bitch about the NFL. That's that's the way of the world. You know what the NFL says to that? F you and your families too. I'm not saying that to the people that complain. I get it because you want content.
Right.
You want content. And the idea of wanting that content and formatting this show like a radio show is that makes sense to me. I get that. I understand freeforming it. At the same point, I read somebody bitch about the opening segment is too long. It's like you can't have it all, folks. But I get that. Yeah. That was somebody who complained about that probably doesn't mind the little short bursts.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't like going to a lot of concerts because it's the same artist playing all the songs. Doesn't that make sense? I get that.
Mike,
I understand
that. I look
that.
At it like Netflix or Hulu. Is that you can spend, what is it, $7.99 a month and get it with commercials. Or you can spend it $15.99 a month and get it without commercials. Well, if you pay a little more, you get a little more of what you like. But we're doing our best
here,
to put.
I'd love to come in here and
together.
Do it that way. I would love to, but it's just not the business model we're using now. Will that change down the road? Who knows? Everything changes.
And there's
a comfort issue too. There's a comfort issue too of having a structure to bounce around in, even if it is a very loosey goosey structure. Just the fact that we know that. We've got this.
Yeah, but it's not for me because I don't maybe at the beginning I formatted this that way, but mm-hmm. we do a 35, 40-minute segment every day. I don't require a comfort of a break. I don't. Okay. I absolutely do not. Okay. The bills have to be paid some way, and we have, you know, this is my job. This is one of Rob's jobs, and now this is Josh's job, and this is Carla's job. And so, you know, any way that would get us to where we need to be and make it more of a palatable thing. But when you bitch about that, it's kind of like me bitching about the commercials on the NFL. Right. Sorry.
Yeah.
No, that's the way I look at it.
No, the commercials mm-hmm. are going to be there. Ads are going to be there. There is some stuff we can do to not be stuck to that hour and 20-minute format that might be something we do in the future with extra segments or extended segments sure. that don't go out to the radio partner.
Right.
Mm-hmm. But staying here. So I think those are some interesting ideas that we've heard as feedback.
Okay. Let's move on to, cause those are the biggies that, you know, that I had
yes,
at,
those the were the big ones.
The little ones are when I agree with, there are two things I want to address here. Talking about stuff you heard on, say a morning show driving in. Because we're using DJ services that do this. I source from one DJ service. I source from 10, 11, sometimes 12 other publications each and every day. And I understand how that works. The detail that goes into that to me is just to make sure that we are covering the things that are being covered. That's every news station.
Yep.
That's every local station. That's everybody. That relevance keeps me grounded so that I will be on top of the fact. If I was to rely on one source, I would be talking about the things they want me to talk about, and mm-hmm. I would have missed a couple of things. I'll give you a great example. What everybody's talking about is Steve Buscemi getting cold cocked in New York.
Right.
That's in my news today. What not enough people are talking about is people walking out on Jerry Seinfeld as the commencement speaker at Duke University. Not a lot of people for whatever reason. I don't know if it's too heavy for us. But sourcing that is one segment of my show every day. That is one segment. And then, you know, moving on from that, I think that you get to a point where if that was the whole show, I would get it. It's one part of a mm-hmm. much larger show. And percentage-wise, I don't know what that is. Now, I gave Rob crap about lists when we came into the
right.
Because I have to say, I've done it, Rob does it, and I agree with it. I get it. I think I have one in the news today. I think I do. I'm looking at one. Baby names. I've done that forever. I love baby
sure.
names. That's what I enjoy doing it. But I understand how that can get tedious. Was that mentioned when you were popping on, Josh?
No. There's complaints about lists. And sometimes the lists work. Sometimes the lists are there just to start great conversation.
And I have a list today. Lists of why people would hate on me.
Well, I told you I'd prepare that list for later in the week.
Yeah.
All right, well, maybe we're getting it out of the way today.
All right.
Just... maybe we don't need to do that. All right. And Rob, you can join in on this one too.
Right. Okay. Well, as far as lists go, Josh nailed it. Is that it's hopefully, if you have a list of 10 items, the best possible situation is to get through two or three. And it prompts a conversation that goes somewhere else.
But I can understand if you're doing it every day.
But I can also understand if it can be overdone. If they're not compelling, then we shouldn't be doing them. So,
and Rob and I source from the same spots, too,
mm-hmm.
which has been a criticism of this show for a long time by me. And I've asked him. He has refused. So there's the There's the
answer.
I've asked you multiple times not to source at the same place I do, to find your own, and you don't, and that's the truth, is it not? Is that not the truth?
I do source at that space, but also, you know, that I do surf TikTok. I do surf Instagram. I do go around, and people do send me videos for stuff. So,
okay.
Yeah, there's the best mix there, Mike.
And I think the best answer is if the list isn't working, we just got to throw it out mid-list.
Yeah.
There's no reason we got to finish a list.
Yeah.
I'm fine with that. Well, then fine. Well, then fine. Now I once again, hey, this is just like the cocktail show, only I'm not drinking and I lost my train of thought where I was going to go.
Not going to tell us something that you told us this morning.
The list.
My favorite part of the cocktail show when I had to remind
Don't interrupt. I'm losing my train of thought. You're going to interrupt me again. And when you interrupt me, I forget my train of thought. I'm trying to do that. And now people are saying, there he goes. There he goes. He's talking about he's going to get better at it. And there he is jumping on him again. I'm just trying to remember what I said. I was putting a list of people why people hate.
Right.
All right. Well, I mean, here and feel free to, if you got one on your own, this is me now.
Okay.
This is me. Why they hate. Prickly personality jumping on Rob's ass, number one. That would be why they hate. Why some people hate. Not everybody. There's some people that love it when I jump on Rob's ass. There are, but who knows what the percentages are. I don't know. Number two, why they hate, and I think this is a big one, my politics. I have some of the most nasty comments. If I get somebody that really gives me total crap, mean-spirited, all right? Mean-spirited. Let me give you what you want. I'll let people know what hurts me. What hurts me is referring to my kid by the same name as the original host of the show's kid. That pisses me off. Mm-hmm. That pisses me off. That diminishes my impregnation of my wife. Of my wife, that I was I doing this just because I have two children from a previous marriage. Okay, mm-hmm. I don't like that. And then someone referred to my son as the Beast. That, you know, you can suck it as far as I'm concerned. You can say, but when I do a deep dive on people that are that hateful, sometimes I usually find a little bit of politics. People like, you know, people.
It is
don't
so
like
often.
That.
It's so often the root of it. It really is.
Josh, what do you say to that? Do you think that at the core that might be some people that feel that way to a certain extent?
I thought that the Beast was his football nickname. I thought that a coach called him.
Oh my! See, that's why we have a third chair. That's
so
why we have a third chair here.
Hate.
Oh my God! The Beast.
Right.
Oh no! I apologize.
But
see,
other
that's
than
why
that,
I
it's
do
fine.
Great.
Yeah,
I'm over
here
now.
That was praise.
Oh my God! I am so sorry. We have to take a break, and when we come, we do. I'm sorry. We're going to continue this. We won't do the round table. We're going to continue this into a second.
All right.
Oh my God! F me running. I am an ass. I am a total ass. Oh, there are people high fiving right now. They called my kid the Beast. Yeah, because that's right. I love the fact that he was called the Beast. I'm a moron. Yeah, Josh came up with that. Rob, you should have come up with that. There, I'm yelling at Rob again. There we go. We'll take a break.
You're
it's a commercial break, Rob. It's a commercial break. 80% of men will experience hair thinning in their lifetime. They need Nutrafol, a clinically tested hair growth supplement for men. You don't have to choose between hair growth and your health. Nutrafol's drug-free whole body approach promotes hair growth from within. Take their hair wellness quiz at Nutrafol.com/men for a personalized hair health plan based on your specific root causes. You can purchase it online with no prescription or doctor's visits required. Free shipping and automated deliveries ensure you will never miss a day.
Boo!
You'll see results in 3 to 6 months. We have seen it work. And it's the real deal. You know, Mother's Day is coming up. Why not surprise? Well, no, it's not coming up. It's past.
Oh, my God, it has. Mike, my apologies. I am so sorry. Mother's Day is past, but it's not too late to honor Mom.
Nutrafol is the number one dermatologist-recommended hair growth supplement brand. You want to know why I yell at him? The hair growth supplement brand, over 1 million people seeing thicker, stronger, faster growing hair with less shedding. Take the first step to visibly thicker, healthier hair. For a limited time, Nutrafol is offering our listeners $10 off your first month subscription and free shipping when you go to Nutrafol.com/men and enter the promo code TMOS. Find out why over 4,500 healthcare professionals and hairstylists recommend Nutrafol for healthier hair. Nutrafol.com/men. Enter the promo code TMOS. That's Nutrafol.com/men. Promo code TMOS. Yeah, I mean, so we're pulling the curtain back. That's Rob's job to keep the copy updated. That's and that, you know, it's no big deal. Sometimes there's a lot of stuff that we have to put on this show, and it happens. There you go. So that's why that is. And that doesn't upset me.
And I did, during that ad break, someone who's listening live did send me a message and share that what annoys them about the ads are some of the automatic ads will
that
jump
get plugged
in,
into the show, you mean?
And apparently they're getting plugged in right in the middle of sentences while you guys are talking.
Should
so
be,
that's something,
cause
that's
I choose,
something we're going to look at right away.
Yeah, okay. I choose those spots very carefully. I mean, I'm pretty precise, so that's got to be on their end. That
so
surprises me.
We got to take a look to make sure.
Yeah, we do.
No, well, wait. You're talking about a different thing, Rob. He's talking about the
same thing.
Same thing.
Wait. I mean, it's the
when we post the show, you can choose the spots. If the automatic ads are going to run, you can choose the spot down to the second where they're going to insert them, and I do that every day. So I don't know why that it would be an error on the other part. So
we'll
look into
that.
Yeah, we'll make it happen.
Okay. Very good. So getting back to the, you know, the state of the show right now and talking about what people have issues about. By the way, we are not ignoring people that love a lot of elements about this show. But if you were listening to a show that was all about what people love about the show, that would be pretty damn non-compelling, in my opinion. And I think it's more fun sometimes to think about what issues people have with that. So getting back to the hate on me, that it comes from a political space. The elephant in the room, and something that I find hurtful for me, is when people talk about not putting forth the energy into it. To give you a little idea of what goes on in my world, we tape the show now at roughly 8 a.m. in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
But it didn't change the fact, even if we taped at 9 or 10 in the morning or even midday, I would get up usually anywhere between 5:30 a.m. and 6 a.m., 6 a.m. this morning, a later start than normally. I do about an hour and a half to 2 hours every
of
day.
Cardio?
Of show prep. Of okay. getting together a list. Some days it's like water. Some days it's irrelevant because we'll start off on a tangent and things will go in a certain direction. Some days it's we go through 10 items that I've listed, and that's how it works. You never know what's going to happen. The idea of keeping it fresh is something that when you've had a show that's been on for 15 years can be a bit of a challenge. That's why, you know, getting people to pop in and be guests on the show, moving in different directions, expanding horizons, doing that is a challenge. I'm committing to you right now that I'm aware of that criticism. I find that criticism to be valid. It's not for lack of trying on my end. It's for finding ways to do that. I'm always challenged to do that. I will continue to be challenged to do that, and I want to try to do a better job on my end. I really believe so. I don't speak for anybody else in this room, but I do. I think we are, if anything now, with the way the show is set up right now, Rob, I think we are compelled to move into other areas and challenge ourselves more.
Mm-hmm.
And we
agreed.
We haven't done that, and we need to do that. And, you know, me as well as you, because it just does get repetitive if you don't do that.
Yeah.
How I get there, that's tough. You know, when you live a relatively stable domestic life, as Rob does and as I do, sometimes it's tough to be compelling. When you're not being, you know, out there. Sometimes some of the best compelling radio, compelling podcasts are from people that are train wrecks in their personal lives. I get that.
True.
You're not going to get it here all the time. It's not going to happen. People that have known me for years and years know that some of those moments are some of the best moments I brought to the show. Not going out there and blowing things up for that.
No.
But, not going to happen.
But a lot of those listeners have also grown up at the same time as you.
I understand.
So as you have grown out of that, so has the listener.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it happens. I mean, it's the same. I would equate it with, oh, man, Pete was so much fun until he got married and he settled down, and now he doesn't come out and play with us anymore. Well, yeah. That's the truth. I get that. So to me, it speaks to another criticism of the show, which is pop culture awareness.
Mm-hmm.
That with the amount of crap that's out there now, that is a challenge as well. And that's not easy to change that, but it's something that when I hear that criticism, I'm like, yeah, okay, I get that. Be aware of certain things. I'm not going to fake it, though. Opie and Anthony, back in the day, were guys in their 40s that were trying to sound like they were guys in their 20s. I'm not going to... Yeah. BS our listeners and try to say I'm into something when I'm not into it. I'm not doing that. I can't do that. But
Mike, you're not going to keep a Razor scooter in your studio?
Yeah, there you go. I really, really understand how that rolls. And I think that being fearing change and fearing sameness, it's more important to fear the sameness. You don't want to fear change, and you want to reject, doing the same things over and over again. With that said, a lot of people like us to go back and do some of the old stuff we did, like impressions and things. I get that as well, too. But always thinking about it. It's always on my mind. For those of you that want to throw darts at me and say, hey, have you worked harder? You do. There is not. I leave this show and I'm thinking about this show. Mm-hmm. I head out to dinner with friends and I'm thinking about this show. I go to sleep at night on Sunday thinking about this show. I wake up in the morning thinking about this show. I found a thread today right before we came in here that Josh had started on one of the Facebook pages, and I read it and was absolutely fascinated. I said, that'd be a fun thing to talk about on the show. I'm always thinking about the show. I'm always trying to think about what we can do. For me, one of the best things for keeping this show relevant and keeping this show interesting is to pay attention to what people are saying about you and not ignore it. And that's what this whole discussion is about. Josh, I'll kick it over to you because I know you've got maybe some other stuff that was brought up or something that you feel personally because you're new to the show. You're the newest member of the group here, so go ahead.
No, I think we covered the big issues here and the big positive criticisms that came out of that discussion. And that's good. I've gotten lots of messages. And the messages of suggestions for improving the show, I love. The messages... Mm-hmm. To tell me how much better Don was than Mike, I don't care. Mm-hmm. And I don't need those messages. What I will say that impressed me and part of as we discussed me coming on board and I quit my job to do this. So in order, we talked a bunch and I reached out to some other people to do my own vetting to make sure this was the right move. But one thing that came across when talking with you guys is that you guys told me to tell you what to do. Told me to critique you, told me to give you ideas and help steer the ship. Mm-hmm. And that openness is what made me want to be a part of this.
Well, then in that case, I hope it's validated then. I noticed when we discussed doing this at the before we came on the show today that there was a palpable lift in you. You were relieved to hear that that I wanted to talk about this on the show. I don't believe in hiding stuff like this. I think it's good to do it. At the same time, I don't feel it's productive to acknowledge haters that are just going to hate, because that just gives them a little bummer.
Now, if you read through that thread, I responded to a lot of people that had positive feedback.
Yeah, and Josh said
it, this is something to figure out and for us to think about.
He said it in his response, constructive criticism, always welcome. You know, we may pay attention to it, we may not, but it's something we will definitely consider. So, you can coach a criticism with a positive attitude. if that makes any sense.
Yeah, but there, I mean, you're also in the public domain, and you're going to have people that want to throw darts. But when we're going to acknowledge it, and we're going to have a show that half of the show is based on talking about it, that's done because A, Josh reached out, and B, I made the decision to talk about it on the show today. Mm-hmm. That's a positive all the way around. Prior to that, I would just, like, if somebody was listing things on the show and they were giving me a hard time about it, I would get on and I would go, great recap. I did that just this past weekend where I said, great recap. Because it was someone who listened to the show. They weren't nice about it, but they listened to the entire show. So that's that. And
I will say, what is nice about the criticism now versus 10 years ago is that now everyone's name is on it. So if you want to come out with me with your real name about the criticism, I'm going to take it a whole lot more serious than some web forum.
So Zippy the Pinhead, thank you very much for sharing that
and
with
us.
And
it's even better that back when Mike started, if people criticized, they had to send it via Telegram.
That's it. And then I'm not sure that Josh and I will be talking baseball on every show, but I would imagine that as we move into the season with the Baltimore Orioles,
is
one of your great loves, correct?
Oh, it's a passion.
A passion. And
yes.
Josh having himself a wonderful year so far, and the Boston Red Sox not exactly lying down. Great pitching staff, but
this is a different Mike than on Saturday.
But why? What did I do on Saturday?
Towards the end of the show, you were very negative about your Red Sox.
No. What I'm saying is they won two in a row over the Nats, and I'm happy. But they have a good pitching staff, right, Josh? Don't they have a decent pitching staff?
They do.
And what my point I was trying to make, we will, if by some chance, and I'm not making any predictions here, that the Boston Red Sox are going to have a good season. I'm not at all confident they're going to have a good season. However, if it comes down to the wire, I would imagine there will be spirited discussion between Mr. Soroka and me, because
not a third chair that fakes knowledge of sports.
Right.
At the end of the month, our teams play.
Is that a dig at you, or is that what you're talking about?
Yes, of course, because I can't talk about that stuff.
No. And
Josh, what do the Orioles have to do to get less signage in your house and a little more TMOS signage? Because I'm looking at your background, and it looks like we got a 5x8 card back there.
Hey, well, we also have this sample Don't Get Happy shirt.
There we go.
So
there we go. You happy with the feedback you got about that over the weekend? People are talking
Talk about it. We'll see.
We'll see
if it's enough talk for us to print it out.
Because remember, and for those of you that criticize the income streams for the show, I am a dirty.
Don't I know?
Little whore. What? Don't what? Don't what?
I was gonna say, don't call yourself a whore, but you're
too late.
You're embracing it.
I'm comfortable with my whoredom.
Whoredom.
Well, we're not working for a big broadcast conglomerate any longer. That just signs checks.
Mike, I like to refer to you as a high class escort.
Okay, I accept that. I'm a high class escort. I will give you a good time. I will wear the best makeup. I will give you a wonderful evening. I promise you that.
That's right.
I promise. Are we running late again? Are we always running
right
late?
On time, no. Of course.
There are people that hate that right there when I said that.
Yep.
Can I talk about puppy time? On the cocktail party on Saturday night, we brought the little guy in.
Stubby.
Sergeant Stubby, the puppy, came in. And Sergeant Stubby... When anybody gets a puppy, if you have another dog in the house, you always analyze what the personality of that dog will be. My prediction for Sergeant Stubby is he is a ballsy little pup that's going to be absolutely wonderful for our other dog. He is so wonderfully engaging. The only thing he doesn't like is when he is sequestered, whether it be in a crate or in the little overpriced pen that my wife
Robert
bought
was
over
like
the weekend.
That when he was
when
little.
You put him in the pen,
he hated it.
When you put him in the crate, that's like, what did it.
Yeah, and I always told everyone the same thing. He loves to be crated.
He doesn't mind at all. Just give him a rubber toy.
That's right.
Let him chew.
Yeah. And, I also gave him a blanket that smelled like me. So for comfort. Okay.
That's wonderful. I have to say that he's a welcome addition to the show.
He's beautiful.
And,
to
the house. And we're very happy. Still don't like the name, but my kid's name. We settled on the name. That's
you know, exactly Mike, if you want to settle on the name, I was thinking about this. You could just call him Sarge. And that's a pretty good dog name.
Yeah, but that's also kind of trite, you know? I mean, I call him Stub.
The Stubster.
Stub. In honor of Dennis Murphy. Stub. That's what I call him.
In honor of him.
I'm going to have a little wine right now, you know? Uh-huh. And maybe I could maybe make the transitions a little less radio, you know? Like, for example, you know, I was really looking for a wonderful, wonderful glass of wine over the weekend. And I'm happy to. Hey, did you know Americans pay about twice as much for their wine as the rest of the world? Let me tell you about it, okay? Boom. Well, laws dating back to Prohibition ensure the right of wholesalers to make big margins. That's crazy crap. Listen up. This podcast is sponsored by Naked Wines, a subscription service that seamlessly connects you to the finest independent winemakers on the planet. I'm Mike O'Mara, and I want you to get your box of the market's best quality wines for a fraction of the price you'd normally pay in stores. Plus, you can pause or cancel at any time. Go to nakedwines.com/TMOS and click Enter Voucher in the top right when you get to the website. Then enter TMOS for both the code and the password. You get 6 bottles of wine for just $39.99, shipping included. That's $100 off and less than $7 per bottle, and this wine rocks. nakedwines.com/TMOS and use the code and password TMOS to grab 6 bottles for just $39.99. nakedwines.com/TMOS, code and password TMOS for $100 off your first 6 bottles. Cheers. So I'm very happy with the puppy, and getting back to just to button up that last little part.
Sure.
Like to point out to people, I try to stay up on everything I can stay up on, but I have to also own the fact of my own elderliness. So you know, get bent if you want me to be something I'm not. All right.
And sometimes you see, that's a youthful response to that by telling them to get bent. That shows
that might right be there. An old response. Get bent.
I think it holds water.
Yeah, you know, who knows? I do the best I can. We have to play the thing. Let's do that right now. Okay?
Are we doing the news now?
Well, we're doing it. Yes, go ahead, Josh.
Well, I just wanted to interrupt you with some breaking news real quick.
Okay,
before
go
we
ahead,
move on to that.
What's right. up, Mike? Mike O'Mara Show. How are you, baby? I heard you guys talk about me on the show. I don't know what that old bald bastard was talking about, saying I looked like an uncooked loaf of bread. I'm a disaster. I know I'm ugly, but I mean, you can't throw stones from a glass house, big dog. But, yeah, Mike, thanks for the shout-out. Thanks for the props on the videos. I'm going to keep gambling my balls off. Hope to see you one day at Encore. Maybe we can chop it up. I was going to rebook this as a business thing, but I listened to the rest of the show, or at least a lot of it. I liked it. It was all right. Decent show you guys got going. I love you. I'll see you next time.
Oh,
hey,
Josh.
Bretzky.
When did that come in, our Bretzky gambling guy with all his posse out there?
That came in late last night.
Oh,
as
my God.
I'm trying anything to reach out to the guy and get him on here for you.
That's awesome. That's fantastic.
He called me an old bald bastard.
You know Vegas, Matt? You could learn a few things from old Bretzky there.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah. He loves his people, Mike.
He does. He does indeed. That's awesome. That's very, very cool. Oh, by the way, who was I watching? Okay, there's another guy. I don't like him as much as some of the guys that are out there, but Raja, was he doing it? He was doing $5,000 spins on a slot machine. He had $50,000 cards that he was putting. Not
How
cards,
did he do?
Tickets that he was putting in there. Got his ass wiped.
Oh,
absolutely
Raja.
Bricked. Absolute bricks. It was sad to watch. It made me tense. It really did. Now hit the thing so we can do our little thing here. Appreciate that. There it is, ladies and gentlemen.
Well, look, wow. The Kraken has $50,000 tickets.
A quarter of $1 million is what he gambled. That's exactly what he gambled.
That is so sad to me. That is
why is
so
it sad? It's fun. You know?
Well, no, but
he has it.
I guess if he does, Raja attaboy.
Or you could come out and say, you know, hey, he could do some real good with that. I get that, too.
No, I don't care about him doing good. I would just rather see him win. That's all.
I know. I know. It was, it was fascinating to me. It really, really was to watch this guy do it. I couldn't believe
what I didn't like is after he lost all that money, he had a list of all the reasons why he shouldn't have done it. Very hack.
You didn't like that, right?
I did not.
You didn't like that one. Right, come on. Where's my thing here?
Yeah, right, come on.
Wait a minute. I got to play it again. All right. I'm getting a...
Do you need the Kraken again?
There it is. Miami Beach Police could be riding in a new set of wheels soon as the department unveiled the world's first police luxury car. The department announced the first Rolls-Royce on Thursday afternoon. I saw a picture of it. The new set of wheels is part of an effort to get people to join the police force.
That's stupid.
The police chief said, this is top of the line. This is the best you can get as far as it relates to vehicles. The police department is the best there is in the country.
Who is the police chief? Donald Trump?
That's Wayne Jones, Rob. Miami Beach Police Chief Wayne Jones. Wayne Jones. Recruiting police officers in this country today is a difficult thing to do. Using this car to help us do recruitment is going to be great. The car was made in collaboration with Brahmin Rolls-Royce of Miami, and it's a new one, and it's got the police colors on
and
it,
It's a great one.
It's a great one. You would love it. You're going to love it real good. It was just kind of cool to see it.
I don't think one car is going to raise recruitment because everyone would be fighting over the police Rolls-Royce.
Well, I don't know if they're going to put them in the entire fleet. I don't think it's going to work out that way. I'm not really
sure. Hi, I'm Wayne Jones, and I don't know if we need more than one.
Talking about it, right? I'm talking about it here, so that's cool. I think that's a...
That's why Miami is largely crime-free.
There. Absolutely. Go over this summer. Enjoy me. 66-year-old Steve Buscemi, the latest victim of unprovoked attacks in New York City. This scares me and should scare you too.
Yeah.
Luckily, he's doing okay. Steve was walking in Midtown on Wednesday at around noon when he was sucker punched. His attacker has been identified from surveillance footage but hasn't been caught. Steve was treated at the local hospital for swelling in his face and left eye.
He's kind of funny looking.
As far as I'm concerned, throw away the key for pricks like that that are just doing that randomly to an old man. Come on, give me a break. A skinny old man, and they come up. How brave is that? How brave is that? You know what? I'd like to see the Russian treatment for a guy that does that. Down the steps, one in the back of the head. Oh, dear. How about Steve Buscemi? Oh, dear.
Well, no, saying, oh, dear. That would be quite something to take it. But he is...
What do you mean? Take it to an extreme? How do you stop crime, Rob? You tell people it's a deterrent. Put the bullet in the back of the head, down to the bottom of the stairs. There. How's that for your snowflake liberal? Me saying that right now. Go ahead and just... I'm tired of this crap. I'm tired of people...
I think it might be over the top. I would say shoot him in the leg and not offer any aid. That's all. That's about where
softy.
It is.
Believe it or not, Oprah is not infallible. And she knows it. During a Weight Watchers live stream last week, she said she regretted participating in toxic diet culture over the years. Here's her quote.
Raise your hand if you believe that.
She says, I've been a major contributor to it. I cannot tell you how many weight loss shows and makeovers I've done, and they've been a staple since I've been working in TV. One of her biggest regrets was when she bought 67 pounds of animal fat on stage during the Oprah Winfrey show to demonstrate how much weight she'd lost. It sends a message that starving yourself with a liquid diet set a standard for people watching that I nor anybody else could uphold. The very next day, I began to gain the weight back. Maya Angelou always said, when you know better, you do better. So these conversations for me are an effort to do better.
I wonder if she feels bad. Does she feel bad about the money she made about it? Because she sure did.
Yeah, she did. But I mean, do you forgive and forget? Or do you...
No, you shoot her in the leg. Shoot her in the leg.
There now.
And I think the most awkward thing, Mike, the most awkward thing is when she brought out that 67 pounds on a wagon, everyone thought it was Stedman.
It was nasty. I remember that. But it did demonstrate, look what that is when you lose weight. If I brought a wagon out with 85 pounds of fat, I mean, you know, you'd need a couple of people to move the wagon. Right?
There's our third chair.
There it is. Someone who attended Taylor Swift's Friday night show in Paris is obviously in their neglectful parent era, because someone posted a picture of a baby on the floor in the standing room section of Le Defense Arena at the feet of a man or woman who was watching the show. Not that it makes it much better, but the child was lying on something soft, like a blanket or a jacket, and the person who snapped the picture said it was wearing some type of ear protection. The baby was.
Yeah. Like the child was laying on 65 pounds of beef fat.
And the parents said, don't step on it. Don't step on it
now. They should be shot on the leg.
Shot on the leg. Hey, I don't like those cold cock thing. I don't like people that
get sucker punched. With you, Mike. That
pisses me off all the time. Millions of Americans got to see the Northern Lights this weekend, kind of. Some saw them the same way your 13-year-old watched Taylor Swift in concert, mostly through their phone. The Aurora Borealis extended way farther south than usual, thanks to a huge solar storm. That's where charged particles from the sun light up as they hit Earth's magnetic field. Intelligence for your life. I'm John Tesh. It was the strongest since 03. Even people in Florida were posting photos this weekend. I was busy drinking on a drinking show.
I want to thank you, Mike, for sending me all those photos of the Northern Lights.
Yeah, the only shots I took were in a glass. By the way, Sunday morning, I looked in that glass that had the Griblies in it.
Oh, yeah, the mealworm.
I cannot believe I put that to my lips. It has now been laundered in the dishwasher.
Don't worry, Mike. So. The propylene glycol in the fireball probably killed it.
And the sugar. It turns out phone cameras are so good now, they pick up the Northern Lights a lot better than our eyes, especially on night mode, meaning for low lighting. Some might argue that that's not a whole lot better than watching a video of them on YouTube, but most people online seem to agree it still counts, so you get to cross it off your bucket list. What say you?
I say it doesn't count. I think you got to see them in the sky. And that's why people travel to see them. I mean, you can't just... I might as well draw a picture of Northern Lights and show it
to you. Who did the Spirit in the Sky?
Oh, that's Norman Greenbaum, 1969, maybe?
That 70? Really was the name of the artist, Norman Greenbaum?
Norman Greenbaum.
Spirit in the Sky.
Yeah. Uh-huh. You know, whenever whenever you hear Spirit in the Sky in a movie, you know you're going to Vietnam.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's true.
Really?
That's scary. They use it for Vietnam montages all the time.
All right, for some of the people that were concerned about this, ladies and gentlemen, this is within the news, so it is a list. Deal. I'm sorry.
Deal.
The Social Security Administration, fine outfit, released its annual list of the most popular baby names in the U.S., and the top two again this year, Olivia and Liam. Olivia has been the top girl's name 5 years running. Liam has topped the boys' list 7 straight years. Liam.
Does that include people that are named William and then be called Liam, or is this
being named Liam? No, I think it's Liam. I think it's Liam. I have a very specific set of skills. Skills that make me a nightmare for naming kids 7 years in a row.
Hey, Liam.
I will find you, and I will kill you.
Yes, Liam, ma'am. Aren't you the little baby that was at the Taylor Swift concert?
I just want people to know that was me. That was me. I got to turn my mic up. I was the baby on the floor, and I enjoyed every moment of my Swifty evening. I love Taylor Swift. I think she's really talented, and I will.
How talented find is you. She?
She's really talented. There you go. I'm glad they put me on a big 60-pound pile of meat.
So
thank
soft.
You. Here we go. 10 most popular names for boys. Liam, Noah, Oliver, James, Elijah, Mateo. Mateo? Mateo. Theodore, Henry, Lucas, and William. Top
Henry
10 for girls.
Henry is such an old-fashioned name. Henry.
I like Henry. Top 10 for girls. Olivia, Emma, Charlotte, Amelia, Sophia, Mia, Isabella, Lalabala, Dadabada, Ava, Evelyn, and Luna. Mia
Evelyn?
Jumped from... Evelyn.
That's another name from 1910.
Mia jumped from 8th to 6th. Otherwise, it's unchanged. They also looked at the trendiest baby names, meaning the ones that saw the biggest gains over the past year. The top 5 for boys. Isael? I-Z-A-E-L? What is it?
I don't know. It sounds biblical. Isael, maybe?
Chosen. C-H-O-Z-E-N.
Oh, come on.
Aiden, Cassian, and Kyron.
Yeah, the top all of those are the—they're all ingredients in Fireball.
the top five for girls. Still recovering from it.
I know.
Top five for girls. Kaylee, Alitzel, Emrin, Adhara, and Azari from the Social Security Administration.
Nowhere do I see the name Mehmet.
Mehmet, I love it. Your favorite. And now, finally today, older people are having sex, Rob.
Not only that. Good for them.
They like having sex. According to a new study from the National Poll on Healthy Aging, 4 in 10 adults aged 65 to 80 report being sexually active. More than half say sex is important to their quality of life. That's the good news.
That is
Here's the bad news. Sexually transmitted infections, STIs, I liked it when they called them diseases instead
of infections. I did too. STDs, that's the go-to, right?
They're surging among older adults, according to the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. Cases of gonorrhea among those 55 plus have grown.
Where was that on the name list?
Gonorrhea. Chlamydia! Chlamydia! Gonorrhea. 600% since 2010. It's up. Chlamydia quadrupled. Syphilis now nearly 700% higher than in 2010. Rising divorce rates. Foregoing condoms. And let's see. And the no risk of pregnancy. Those are the reasons why seniors are getting these STIs. The availability of drugs for sexual dysfunction is also on that list. The large number of older adults living together in retirement communities and the increased use of dating apps are likely to have contributed to the growing incidences of STIs in the over 50 crowd. In Florida, it was announced that the state slogan of "Get off of my lawn" will now be replaced with "Get off on my lawn."
Oh,
thank
stop
you.
Stop it. That's
I want to tell you, that's like, that is disgusting.
You know why they love sex? Because it feels good.
Now, since this has been a show where we have dealt with some negative things, I will have another negative for you coming up when I will tell you how I believe I will be leaving the earthly plane. How I will die, next on The Mike O'Mara Show. Listen up. Time to discover the transformative power of DermGlowSkin.com for weight loss. There are people out there that are mad now. Sorry. Witness the results yourself. I've shed over 80 pounds and never felt better. I love it, love it, love it. DermGlowSkin.com streamlines weight loss. What I want you to do is I want you to go to the website, DermGlowSkin.com, click on the weight loss button, and you will be taken to your weight loss journey. No insurance needed. Once you begin, expect continuous medical support, clinically proven ingredients. You have to qualify, though, and you get your tailored care, all supplies included. Start immediately. Don't hesitate. Isn't it time to shed up to 26% of your body weight? I'm living proof it works. Stop the food noise. Reclaim your true self. Get excited and reach out to Carla for any inquiries. She's dedicated to assisting you. DermGlowSkin.com. Let's go. All right. We are, shocker, running a little bit late today on the show. Let me make this really quick.
All right.
I have determined how I will eventually leave this earthly plane. It's by taking my blowtorch out on the back patio and killing weeds with it.
You practice all safety. We've talked about this. You're very safe when you do it.
There is not only an explosion hazard, because I carry the heavy tank of propane behind me with that on my right hand. And then I have my torch in the front hand.
Do you look like John Goodman in the movie Arachnophobia?
There's a little Ghostbusters factor too.
Yeah, I hear you.
There is the tripping hazard, which we all know at
of
this
course.
Advanced stage you have to worry about. But there also is something that I came very close to doing. I don't believe I did it, but I was using the torch a little too close to the torch tube. That was coming from the propane, and I think that would have probably resulted in a rather severe explosion.
Probably?
If I did that.
If you light the propane fuel, the source, it's going to blow up the tank, Mike.
If you have pavers in your backyard and you power wash them away, what you're doing is irrigating the weeds. So when you irrigate the weeds, they will come out. So go out, get yourself a turbo blowtorch, and kill the weeds that way, and then they stay away a little bit longer. The only reason they popped up more this time is because I had irrigated them previously, so there was a lot of water under there. It took a lot of letter writing.
Let me offer you something, Mike, that doesn't involve blowing up a propane tank and sending shards of metal into your face.
Right.
There is a product called atrazine that you could sprinkle after you do your power washing, sprinkle in the seams, and it kills all grass.
That's just like Roundup. Right?
Atrazine is kind of like Roundup with balls, though. It means it. It's what we used to use on corn.
Can it get into your system and cause like illnesses?
I look great, don't I?
All right. We have to take another break. When we come back, Rob, I want to just touch on your wife. Your wife ruining your weekend. I want to know about it. I want
to
know.
We're up to the flip side, though.
Oh, have we? Really?
Yeah. Well, I mean, look at the clock.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. I didn't know that.
We can talk about it tomorrow. You know, Mike.
We'll do it tomorrow.
The ruining of my Mother's Day also involves a blowtorch, believe it or not.
Very good. We'll be right back. Summertime hot weather requires extraordinary hydration. Liquid IV hydrates you with benefits like electrolytes, essential vitamins, clinically tested nutrients, three times the electrolytes of the leading sports drink in a single stick. It's clear why Liquid IV is the number one powdered hydration brand in America. The secret is LIV HydroScience, the science-backed formula that's an optimized ratio of electrolytes, essential vitamins, and clinically tested nutrients to turn ordinary water into extraordinary hydration. It's a zero-sugar hydration solution with no artificial sweeteners, clinically tested to hydrate more than water alone, and I love it. Tear, pour, live more. One stick, 16 ounces of water. Hydrate better than ever before. Turn your ordinary water into extraordinary hydration with Liquid IV. Get 20% off your first order of Liquid IV when you go to liquidiv.com and use code TMOS at checkout. That's 20% off your first order when you shop Better Hydration using promo code TMOS at liquidiv.com.
Flip it.
Hello.
Yeah, okay. I forgot.
I
redid the extra break at the front of the show.
Fine.
I forgot.
It all works.
Lost my place.
The flip side.
All right, we're a few minutes behind, so we have an abbreviated, but all this stuff is so strong. Mike.
Okay.
I am against distracted driving. Do not go on, say, Facebook Live while you're driving, especially if you have just lit up a marijuana cigarette. Kids call them joints. What'll happen is if you're driving and smoking pot, you might hit somebody. And that's what happened to this vegan influencer. Right. I believe, Mike, it happened in Florida.
Those voices, they're not fake. But I wonder.
That was hitting a person.
She hit a person?
Yeah, I'll take it from the front. It was a pretty good bump there. Vegan
hit someone.
That's the title.
No, he does hear those voices. They're not fake. But I wonder.
That's hitting a person.
Wow. She shut
now
up quick.
She stopped.
Oh my God, are you okay?
No.
I didn't see her.
What? Looking.
I was looking. I didn't see you.
What the fuck?
I'm telling you, I did not see you.
Okay. What the fuck?
Just tell me how I can help.
I don't know. Okay.
Okay.
Mike.
Oh my God, you guys. I don't know what just happened, but it wasn't good.
The vegan says that the person is okay and she was not charged. I don't know that I buy that.
Why did she post this video?
Don't know. I think it has to do. I think
it's on the video.
I have to believe it's because it was a live stream. Maybe it was captured.
Okay.
I don't know. But if she was bright, she would have saw it. I'm glad you're here, Josh, because I have a question for you. Can you account for your whereabouts this week? Because this next news story comes from St. Augustine, Florida.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. Okay. And it is a man who stole a boat for a joyride, and he was only wearing underwear and an ankle bracelet.
This man was arrested for stealing a woman's boat in St. Augustine, according to the Florida Fish and Wildlife Conservation Commission. It credited quite the created rather than
Idiot.
Buzz on Facebook. Wow.
Action News Jack's Nicholas Brooks has photos of the boat floating on its side.
This is sad.
This image that you see on your screen is all over Facebook. It's a boat that was stolen, then sank off of St. Augustine.
Son. These are photos that everyone
was
sharing on Facebook of a boat floating in Volano Beach with no one on it. In this photo, you can see the boat is half underwater, and here you can see the damage the boat has sustained.
I have seen
Florida Fish and Wildlife Conservation Commission says this all happened as a result of this man, Anthony Terry. FWC says he was trying to take a joyride in a boat that wasn't his. Wildlife officers said he stole the boat Tuesday at a private dock just south of Kronk House Marina. One person commented they had an encounter with the suspect. The comment says he approached my daughter and her boyfriend in his underwear with a boat bumper tied to his arm wearing an ankle monitor.
So that's what's going on in St. Augustine.
Florida, yeah, you got it up there too, huh, Josh? You got it up there in your area, right?
It's the sun must make people crazy.
You know, my dad's boat on the Eastern Shore got flipped after some severe weather, and there was, as viral as the Eastern Shore gets, a picture of his boat upside down being passed around. It says, boat for sale, slightly used.
And it was, and people don't realize he's still living under it.
He is. There was an oxygen pocket. Over boat. It was beautiful. Mike, and we close with this. Yes. Don't you love when senior citizens are getting it done?
Yeah, always. Always. Of course I do.
Mike, in a new-to-be-released sequel to Weekend at Bernie's, a new man has broken the world's record for tandem skydiving at an advanced age. He is 106 years old.
Wow! Hey, that's...
What do you think, Al? We just broke the world record.
I lost my breath.
You lost your breath?
I can't hardly talk.
You're looking good, buddy. Wee hee.
Here we go.
Here we go.
All the way.
Mike, let's hear it for him. Weekend at Bernie's.
There you go. Fantastic. Hey, I'd like to do it at that age. I promise you, if I don't blow myself up with a blowtorch, I will, I'll do that at my 100th birthday. I'll jump out of an airplane.
That's
fantastic. We got to get out of here. Thank you for all the feedback. We hope you enjoyed today's show where we address some of the concerns that you have. And I like talking about that once in a while. Don't count on it happening every day, though, okay? Ask. Don't get happy. For Rob Spiewak and Josh Soroka, this is Mike O'Mara saying so long, everybody.
I feel happy.
Want more? Make sure you check out the Mike O'Mara Bonus Show. Get it at MikeO'MaraShow.com.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.
You are a blabbermouth! I got nowhere else to go!
I'll recommend your services to anyone I know who has diabetes.